We're going to move right into our rapporteur, who's going to try to do the impossible, and that is give us a little roadmap to what we've heard today and that what we might think about for future panels, I think. Lorraine McDonald.
So it ended up I'm the one who stands between you and lunch. But I promise to be very quick. I think the last exchange was very useful because the whole issue of it being a time now of very heated political rhetoric, one-dimensional stereotyping of immigration and immigrants in some parts of the media, and I think the presentations this morning really point to the need for the unique role of the national academies. Now, for some of you who may be guests here for the first time, I should probably briefly say, what is the unique role of the national academies? The national academies do not usually do original research, but they do other things that are very important, and particularly, I think, in this area. They can convene scholars to both synthesize existing research, but also, as Jim Smith illustrated this morning, how to model the existing data to make estimations, to think about things in a new way. They can identify knowledge gaps. They can reframe social and policy questions. I think David Kennedy's point about helping to get the question right, that's one of, I think, the most important things the national academies can do. And so I think that they have a very important role to play in this area. At a general level, I think the agenda, the future agenda in immigration research and the work that the national academies would do, it has to be broader than the 1997 NRC study. It has to include the social and political dimensions of immigration in addition to the economic and fiscal ones. The agenda also needs to be more comparative and more contextualized than past work. It needs to look across immigrant groups. I mean, there's a substantial knowledge gap between what we know about Hispanics in the United States and what we know about other ethnic immigrant groups. It needs to look across communities and political jurisdictions. It needs to look over time and across generations. That was a major theme today. Ruben mentioned it also needs to look across countries. It needs to be comparative and see where we stand vis-a-vis other countries, and also looks at different economic sectors. So much more comparison, much more contextualization than in the past. And I think this is where perhaps the national academies can play a role in helping to build a coherent research agenda that does this, but that gives direction to other people who may go do the research. Part of that also, I think, is to help give direction to the government agencies that collect data, that the Census Bureau thinks about different ways to collect data, particularly to get at some of the intergenerational questions that were raised today. This agenda also needs to clearly focus on the immigrant experience from the perspective of individual immigrants and the factors that explain variation in their social, economic, and political integration. But the agenda also needs to reverse that causal relationship and focus on what's known and not known about the effect of immigrants not just on the national economy and regional labor markets, but also on the collective life of different kinds of receiving communities. I think another thing, and this goes to the last exchange, that since public perceptions are so key to the politics of immigration, it would be very important also to focus on the size, the nature, the reasons for the gap between empirical data about immigrants and immigration, and what public perceptions are. We need to sort of understand why that gap is there and what's the source of that gap. In preparing this agenda, I think that it's important that the national academies make the point that this isn't just to understand immigrants and immigration better, but it's also a way to inform broader discussions about U.S. economic competitiveness, about health care, about crime, social security, pension policy. Immigration and immigrants can be a window on those other issues and the options that are available. And I think it's also the case from Willie's example, Immigration is also a window on some basic questions, such as language acquisition. So I think the justification for doing this, the rationale, has to be much broader than just immigrants and immigration policy. And then let me just mention, I think I saw about four kind of more specific studies, but I think the general comparative contextualization captures some of this. First of all, we heard from Jim Smith the importance, and I think that came through in a number of things, we know so little about the experience of undocumented immigrants, and really to understand and compare the experience of the documented and the undocumented. Willie's point about trying to learn how the undocumented unlearn the habits of illegality, how they come out of the shadows, the process of integration. And I think that was one of the themes I also heard today, this notion of trying to understand these processes. When Lou DiCipio talked about the process that goes from being an immigrant to then becoming a voter or becoming a civically active person, we really need to focus on understanding those processes and what shapes them. Another study that was mentioned is to try and understand much more about the distributional impacts of immigration. I speak as a native Californian, and you can tell from Jim's data that the distributional impacts are very different in California than they are in the rest of the country. And I think the rest of the country needs to understand that. I guess I sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger when I say that, but I think it's very important. When Steve Trejo was talking about the disagreements between Borjas and Card, what came to mind and what I was most struck by in that New York Times Magazine article this summer was that both of these men, having very different interpretations on the economic impact of immigrants, both said that they refused to testify before Congress on the issue because they knew that the members of Congress not only wouldn't listen, but they would probably distort what they would say. And to me, as a policy analyst and an academic, that's a very frightening thing to think that these, very important studies are being sort of withdrawn from the public arena because there's a feeling not that they'll fall on deaf ears, but that they will be manipulated in ways that neither side is concerned about or happy with. And I think that has huge implications for the National Academy's role. The whole issue of how information, social science information, is used or not used by policymakers. Now, I know that there is a National Academy study, I guess it's getting started, on the utility of social science data, and I think this feeds directly into that. Then I think another thing that came out when listening to Lou DiCipio was that I think we need a much better understanding of immigrant encounters with major political and social institutions in this country and their effects on their integration. We know quite a bit about the role of the schools, but we know much less about encounters with healthcare institutions, with the police, and certainly with the federal institution that's going to decide whether or not they can be naturalized. So I think that this goes right to the question of thinking about the role of institutions in explaining the gap between immigrant interest in naturalization and what actually their behavior. So I think having an institutional focus and understanding the interaction between these key societal institutions and immigrants would be very important too. So those are just some of the things that I saw that I think would give a much more nuanced picture of the immigrant experience and its impact on communities. And hopefully if that's joined with better thinking, I think on the part of us as academics, but also on policymakers about how to use that information, we'll have a better world. Thank you.
That was an impossible job done impossibly well. Next merit review. I know we actually have come on time about right now, and the question is whether we want to continue for a couple more minutes or we would rather end on this high note, digest it, and we have the meeting coming up. I think we'll do that. So let me thank you for your attendance and your cooperation.